December 15th, 1996, Willingboro Township, New Jersey. After saying goodnight to her family, 12-year-old Selena Mays heads for her bedroom, but is discovered to be missing the following morning. At the time, Selena was living with her father and a number of other relatives and belonged to a church run by her aunt, who is accused of operating the organization like a cult. It turns out that Selena was 9 months pregnant at the time she went missing, and her family maintains that she never revealed the identity of the child's father. There is no record of Selena giving birth, and even though her paternal and maternal relatives accuse each other of being responsible for her disappearance, she is never heard from again. After that, the trail went cold. Hello, everyone, and welcome to our latest episode of The Trail Went Cold. I'm your host, Robin Warder, and we've got a very unusual and unsettling missing children's case to cover today. The 1996 disappearance of 12-year-old Selena Mays. This is the story of a preteen girl who lived in a residence alongside a large number of her relatives, but inexplicably vanished from her room after going to bed one night. At the outset, the evidence seemed to suggest that she ran away on her own, but what really makes this case stand out is that Selena was 9 months pregnant and approximately 2 weeks away from giving birth. And no, you did not hear me wrong the first time around. Selena was 12 years old at this time, and technically would have only been 11 when the child was originally conceived. Naturally, this caused some major complications in the case, particularly after it came out that Selena lived a very strict, sheltered life under the domineering control of her aunt, the head pastor at a church, which would be accused of utilizing brainwashing techniques on its congregation. Throughout the investigation, everyone in Selena's life would maintain that she never revealed the identity of the father of her unborn child, and the authorities could find no evidence that she gave birth in the weeks following her disappearance. When Selena's mother passed away years earlier, her father was awarded custody, so he would accuse Selena's maternal relatives of orchestrating her disappearance and hiding her from him. But given the controversial nature of Selena's church and all the unanswered questions surrounding her pregnancy, there has also been suspicion that her paternal side of the family knows exactly what happened and have covered up the truth. Whatever the case, it has been over 2 decades, and no conclusive evidence has ever surfaced that Selena or her child are still alive, so we're going to explore all the different scenarios on today's episode. However, before we get started, just a quick reminder that The Trail Went Cold is a weekly podcast, which is currently available for download on several platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. So if you like this podcast, be sure to subscribe to it, and please leave us a rating or review on any of those sites to help spread the word. The Trail Went Cold is on Patreon, so if you would like to learn how to support the show, please visit our page at patreon.com/thetrailwentcold. For as little as $1 a month, you can garner access to exclusive rewards, which may include stickers and thank you cards, early access to episodes, and bonus content. So with all that out of the way, let us now delve into the unsolved disappearance of Selena Mays. Our story begins in 1996 in New Jersey, and our central figure is 12-year-old Selena Mays. Selena is the biracial child of an African-American father, Crisanzo Jarrell Mays, who goes by the nickname CJ, and a Caucasian mother, Lynn Vital. The couple originally met in Miami in 1983, while CJ was working as a musician and Lynn was an exotic dancer. After giving birth to Selena 1 year later, they made the move up north to Palmyra, New Jersey, but the relationship was fraught with problems. CJ and Lynn both had substance abuse problems, and Selena was a frail infant who weighed only 2¼ pounds when she was born. There were also domestic violence issues, as CJ spent time in and out of jail, and Lynn and Selena would be forced to make numerous trips to a women's shelter. The couple never officially married, but they finally split up for good in 1990. Lynn would move into her own apartment and retain custody of Selena, and by this point, she had made a successful attempt to clean up her life, overcoming her substance abuse issues, and taking on a steady job as a school custodian. By all accounts, Lynn was a very loving and attentive mother, and since CJ fell behind on child support payments, he was denied visitation rights to see his daughter. However, tragedy would strike in May of 1994, when Lynn passed away after suffering a fatal brain aneurysm. Lynn's family claimed she once told them that if anything happened to her, she did not want Selena to wind up with CJ or his family. One of Lynn's sisters, Marilyn Caro, and her husband, who both lived in Michigan, wanted to adopt Selena, and soon found themselves in a bitter legal dispute with CJ. According to CJ, Lynn's side of the family had rejected Selena following her birth after they learned that her father was a black man. While Selena's maternal relatives adamantly denied this, the courts ultimately decided to award custody of her to CJ. By this point, CJ had remarried to a woman named Yvette, and was now living with his sister, Sarita Smith. Sarita was the founder and head pastor of a small Pentecostal church known as Gospel of Christ Ministries, Incorporated, which was based in Mount Holly and had a congregation of between 50 and 60 people. CJ claimed that finding religion had helped him overcome his substance abuse issues and turn his life around. He was now employed as an accountant and bookkeeper at his sister's church, and his current wife, Yvette, worked as a secretary for them. Once CJ attained custody of Selena, she also became a member of the church, which had strict religious beliefs, and Selena started living a very sheltered lifestyle in which she was homeschooled and sang in the church's choir. The congregation was split up into a number of extended families who shared two apartments at the parish house next to the church. Sarita's residence was a communal home located on Crestview Drive in Willingboro Township, and it housed no less than 15 people, including Sarita, her husband, 5 of their children, and multiple grandchildren. Selena also lived there alongside her father and stepmother, as well as a couple of step-siblings. On December the 15th, Selena and a number of her relatives went to church before they all returned to Sarita's residence for dinner. At approximately 11 p.m., Selena was in the kitchen with her family and kissed everyone goodnight, and reportedly said the words, "Thanks for everything," before heading to bed. The following morning, one of Selena's step-siblings walked into her bedroom in order to wake her up. She was surprised to discover that a number of pillows had been placed under the blankets in Selena's bed, but Selena herself was nowhere to be found. Even though virtually all of Selena's personal belongings, including her purse, had been left behind, CJ said that he initially believed Selena had run away. He hoped she would return shortly, or at least call home to let him know she was okay, but when she failed to resurface after a day or two, CJ contacted the Willingboro Police Department to officially report her missing. However, the police would soon make a shocking discovery when they learned that one of the items Selena left behind was her prenatal vitamins. Even though Selena was only 12 years old, it turned out she was 9 months pregnant, and the projected due date for her child was December the 29th, less than 2 weeks after she disappeared. Since Selena's birthday was May the 28th, she technically still would have only been 11 at the time the baby was conceived, and her family claimed she kept her pregnancy hidden from them for about 4 months. Sarita subsequently took her niece to see an obstetrician named Dr. Dolores J. Williams, who saw Selena multiple times, and their last appointment had taken place only 2 days before she went missing. Everyone from Selena's family maintained that she never revealed the identity of the child's father, though Dr. Williams claimed Selena once told her that he was 16 years old and belonged to a different church than Gospel of Christ Ministries, Incorporated. Sarita stated that she believed the father might have been a male whom Selena had met while roller skating in Camden County, but did not provide any specific details. While the family was shocked and angry about Selena's pregnancy, she was still planning to keep her baby. Due to their religious beliefs, they would not consider the possibility of an abortion, but CJ said he assured his daughter that they would work out the whole situation. Investigators kept a close eye on all hospitals and teen pregnancy programs in the area, but even after December the 29th came and went, there would be no reports of anyone matching Selena's age or description giving birth to a child. Since CJ had told his daughter about his intention to perform some paternity testing to determine the identity of the baby's father, he continued to suspect that Selena ran away on her own in order to protect him. Indeed, given Selena's age, the father could have potentially faced felony sexual assault charges if his identity was ever uncovered. CJ also expressed his suspicions that maternal relatives from Lynn Vitale's side of the family, who lived in Michigan and Florida, might have been hiding Selena. They all denied these allegations and accused Selena's paternal relatives of going out of their way to prevent them from making contact with her. In the 2.5 years after CJ was awarded custody of Selena, most of the phone calls and letters which were sent to her from Lynn's side of the family were completely ignored. In fact, Selena's maternal aunt, Marilyn Caro, who had attempted to adopt her, would claim that she only got to speak with Selena twice during that time period. Selena's maternal relatives suspected her paternal family of somehow being involved in her disappearance and stated that if Selena turned up alive, they would fight to regain custody of her. The authorities claimed that CJ and Sarita were uncooperative during the investigation, as Sarita would not allow them to perform a search of her residence, and members of her family and the church declined the police's request to take polygraph tests. Indeed, it would turn out that Gospel of Christ Ministries Incorporated was surrounded by controversy, as the church was accused of functioning like a cult and utilizing brainwashing techniques on their congregation. Years earlier, they had been affiliated with Christ Gospel Churches International Incorporated, a Pentecostal organization headquartered in Jeffersonville, Indiana, with over 1,500 churches worldwide. But in 1991, the organization decided to disassociate themselves from their New Jersey church due to numerous complaints about the authoritarian style of Pastor Sarita Smith, who was also accused of financial misdeeds. As a result, Sarita was stripped of her minister's license, but she decided to keep running the church as her own independent congregation, which she renamed Gospel of Christ Ministries Incorporated. But as the years went on, a number of former members who left the congregation claimed that Sarita ruled her followers with absolute control and went out of her way to keep them cut off from outside communication with people who did not belong to the church. Selena and all of the other children affiliated with the church were homeschooled, and Sarita was accused of controlling every aspect of her followers' lives, including who they married and how they handled their finances. In fact, they would sometimes be forced to work 16-hour days selling pretzels and Mary Kay cosmetics in order to support the church. One former member alleged that when he got married to a woman whom Sarita did not approve of, Sarita chewed them out at the next service in front of the entire congregation and warned that they would be punished for their disobedience. The church also frequently faced complaints from their neighbors about excessive noise, leading to one incident where Sarita shouted at them over an amplified microphone and stated, "Mount Holly, this is war, I'll fight you all." During her time living with her paternal family, Selena reportedly had very little contact with people outside the church. Given her controlling nature, most people who knew Sarita had a hard time believing that she would not have known the identity of the father of Selena's unborn child. While Sarita denied all these allegations and maintained that her church's activities had nothing to do with Selena's disappearance. In fact, Sarita even pushed forward the possibility that Selena was intentionally being hidden by disgruntled former members of her congregation. For his part, CJ continued to believe that his daughter ran away voluntarily, and on the one-year anniversary of her disappearance, he gave an interview to the Burlington County Times and stated, quote, She's a strong-willed girl. She just wanted to leave. The church didn't have anything to do with this. I want my daughter to be happy. I would love for her to want to come back and be a family. But if Selena is big and grown, I'm behind her in whatever decision she makes." End quote. CJ also openly challenged rumors that he might be the father of Selena's child, as he claimed that he got a vasectomy 2 years before she went missing. He provided the authorities with medical documentation to support this, and a physician confirmed that the vasectomy took place. But rumors about Selena's pregnancy would escalate in January of 1998, when one of her cousins, 23-year-old Sean Smith, was charged with 2 counts each of both aggravated sexual assault and criminal sexual contact. Sean was Sarita's son, and his alleged victims were 2 young female members of the church, who were reportedly ages 13 and 14 when the assaults first began. Prior to his arrest, Sean had fathered a total of 5 children from 4 different women before he got married. And at the time Selena went missing, not only were Sean, his wife, and all of his children living in the same residence, but all the mothers of each of his children were living there as well. Unfortunately, as hard as I tried, I just could not find any information about how the sexual assault case turned out, or if Sean ever did any prison time for these charges. Some former church members would tell police that Selena and other members of the congregation had told them that Sean was the father of Selena's child. Sean was interviewed several times about Selena's disappearance, but he denied any knowledge or involvement, and no evidence could be found to implicate him. In the weeks following Sean's arrest, Selena's case would be featured on an episode of Lisa, a daytime talk show hosted by Lisa Gibbons. One of Selena's maternal aunts appeared on the show, as well as her older half-brother, Bob Benaglio, who hailed from Michigan and was Lynn Vitale's child from a previous relationship. They consulted with self-proclaimed psychic Dorothy Allison, whom you might remember from one of the earliest episodes of Unsolved Mysteries, and she expressed her fear that Selena and her child were now dead. While CJ and Sarita were also invited to be guests on the show, they both declined to make an appearance. Over the years, there have been a number of reported sightings of Selena, most of which have never panned out. One of the most interesting occurred in December of 2002, when a security camera at a Wawa convenience store in Egg Harbor Township, New Jersey, captured footage of a young woman who resembled Selena, but she was never tracked down or identified. When Selena's mother passed away, she left behind a large life insurance policy, and the money was placed in a trust fund. Even though Selena would have been eligible to collect the money after she turned 19, she has never come forward to claim it. After 24 years, no conclusive evidence has ever been found to prove that Selena Mays is still alive, so the fate of both her and her unborn child remains unknown. So I guess you could say, the trail went cold. Well, this is not the first story I've covered on this podcast about a victim who went missing while they were pregnant, but it's definitely the most unsettling. I remember first learning about this case many years ago when I came across Selena Mays' profile page at the Charlie Project, and when I saw that she was 12 years old and pregnant at the time she went missing, I almost had to question if that information was accurate. But there's zero doubt that Selena's pregnancy was legitimate, and we essentially have 2 mysteries here. What happened to Selena, and who was the father of her unborn child? Well, when you look at the timeline, Selena technically still would have been only 11 years old when she originally got pregnant, which makes this story even more harrowing. Apparently, during her visits to her obstetrician, Selena maintained that the father did not force her to have sex, but no matter how you look at it, an 11-year-old cannot legally consent to sexual activity. So this was definitely still statutory rape in the eyes of the law, and whoever the father was would have faced a lot of potential legal trouble if his identity was uncovered. Now, if you look at the original media coverage of this case, it seems like a number of people, including the police, thought there was a decent chance that Selena did legitimately run away on her own, and they did not have much suspicion that foul play had taken place. But when her child's due date came and went, and no records could be found to indicate Selena had given birth, I think that's when concern started to grow. I mean, a 12-year-old having a child is such an unusual occurrence, so I'm pretty sure that if she had shown up at a hospital for treatment, it would have raised a number of eyebrows, and someone would have remembered and reported it. Of course, Selena's father, CJ, seemed to believe that she wanted to escape her strict religious environment and ran off to hide with her maternal relatives, who could have delivered her baby in secret. That theory might have seemed reasonable at the time, but here we are over 2 decades later, and no one has ever uncovered one shred of evidence that Selena is still alive. Even if she was hiding out for a while, there would be no reason for Selena to still be doing so after all this time, and if she did give birth, that child of hers would currently be a 24-year-old adult. Even though I still see Selena's disappearance pop up from time to time in articles about unsolved missing persons cases, it doesn't sound like there's been much progress in the investigation for quite some time, and sadly, I'm not optimistic that Selena is still with us. Selena's whole story is incredibly tragic, as she had to suffer through an incredibly traumatic childhood in which both her parents had addiction issues and her father was a domestic abuser. But then her mother Lynn finally turned things around and was giving Selena a nice normal life until she suddenly succumbed to a brain aneurysm. If Lynn's family had gotten custody of Selena, then things probably would have turned out alright with her. But she instead wound up living with her father again and had to spend her preteen years in a strict, closed-off religious environment, belonging to a church which was accused of functioning like a cult. From my online searches, it appears that CJ is no longer with us, as I was able to find an obituary for a Crisanzo Jarrell Mays, who passed away in Miami in September of 2017 at the age of 63. Since the ages match up, and I seriously doubt there are that many people in the world named Crisanzo Jarrell Mays, I'm pretty certain this is the same guy, though the fact that he died in Miami would seem to indicate that he left his sister's church at some point. I also found an online listing for Gospel of Christ Ministries Incorporated in Mount Holly, New Jersey, which lists Sarita Smith as the pastor, so it appears they are still in operation today. I will say that even if the church was not involved in what happened to Selena, I found Sarita's victim blaming after her niece went missing to be pretty repulsive. During the interview she gave to the media, Sarita seemed less concerned about Selena's safety and more angry about the fact that she had lied to the church and gotten pregnant at such a young age. She acted like it was such a betrayal, conveniently forgetting the fact that Selena was a minor, and for all we know, the father may have been a legal adult who was fully responsible for his actions. 1 month after Selena's disappearance, Sarita held a service for her followers in which she denounced Selena for lying to her family and expressed her belief that Selena was deceiving them again by running away. Believe it or not, she also openly discounted the possibility that Selena was raped, because then she wouldn't have hid her pregnancy for 4 months. Sarita flat out stated, quote, "The Bible says you cry out the rape. The Bible says you cry out molestation," end quote. Like I reiterated earlier, someone needs to remind her that sexual contact with an 11-year-old is considered rape, no matter what. This sermon is particularly uncomfortable after you remember that one of Sarita's own sons was accused of being the child's father, but we'll talk more about him in a little while. Now, on the surface, you might assume that the church made Selena disappear because they were embarrassed about her pregnancy and wanted to cover it up, but if that were the case, they probably never would have taken her to see the obstetrician, Dr. Dolores J. Williams. During her interviews with the press, Dr. Williams described Selena as being, quote-unquote, wise beyond her 12 years, and she also seemed to think that Selena ran away of her own accord in order to escape her strict religious environment. It's worth noting that Williams ran her own private practice and was not affiliated with Gospel of Christ Ministries, Incorporated, so I don't think Serena would have taken Selena to see her unless she intended for her to have this child. I think that if the church was so embarrassed by the situation that they didn't want anyone to find out about it, they would have kept Selena sequestered and not allowed her pregnancy to go on the record. By all accounts, Selena led a very sheltered life in which she was homeschooled and almost never interacted with anyone outside her church, so it would have been easy to keep the whole thing under wraps. Williams also said that she had treated other girls in the past who had gotten pregnant at ages 12 and 13, and most of the time, they elected to have an abortion because giving birth at such a young age is a difficult ordeal. But due to the religious beliefs of Selena's family, that was obviously not an option for her. Selena apparently told Dr. Williams that the father of her child was 16 years old and belonged to another church, but never disclosed his identity. Well, given Sarita's reputation for acting like a cult leader and exerting total control over the lives of her followers, it does seem pretty unlikely that she wouldn't have found out who the father was. To be fair, Dr. Williams claimed that the family was pretty insistent about helping them find out the identity of the father, but you do get the impression that Sarita was the type of person who would have gotten Selena to reveal his identity one way or the other. So you have to wonder if Sarita told her niece to feed the doctor a cover story about this unnamed 16-year-old in order to avoid revealing the truth. It's also odd how Sarita stated at one point that the father was a young man whom Selena met while roller skating in Camden County, but as far as I can tell, she never provided any additional information. Did she happen to know this young man's name? If so, why not give his name to the police so they could question him? Once again, since Selena was rarely allowed to interact with anyone outside her inner circle, when would she have gotten the opportunity to go roller skating and meet another guy in the first place? I think one of the biggest issues with this case is that because Selena's family was so insulated, we really only have their word that the circumstances of Selena's disappearance unfolded the way they did. The official version of events is that before going to bed, she kissed her family goodnight and uttered the words, "Thanks for everything." The following morning, the family discovered that Selena's room was empty and she had placed some pillows under her covers to give off the false impression she was in bed. I mean, that would ordinarily be a strong indication that she ran away, but can we be absolutely certain they're telling the truth? I do think it's a bit of a red flag that the family did not immediately report Selena missing, as differing sources state that they waited either 1 or 2 days before contacting the police. According to CJ, he was hoping that Selena would return on her own or call to let him know she was safe and that they wouldn't have to involve the authorities, but we're talking about a 12-year-old girl that was 9 months pregnant who disappeared in the middle of December, so shouldn't there be a bit more urgency on their part? CJ would later accuse Selena's maternal relatives of hiding her, but they all lived in Florida and Michigan. Unless she somehow made arrangements for them to meet her in New Jersey, how would Selena have traveled there on her own? Given the heated custody battle between the two families, the idea of her being concealed by her maternal relatives might not have seemed that absurd at the time, but I just don't see why she would remain hidden for over 2 decades, particularly since CJ passed away a few years ago. Selena's half-brother, Bob Benaglio, shared a story about having a phone conversation with her shortly after his side of the family lost the custody battle. Bob said he could hear CJ in the background telling Selena to get off the phone, so Bob told her that if she was unhappy with her situation, she should give him a signal by pushing one of the buttons on the phone. Well, sure enough, a few seconds later, Bob said he heard a beeping sound. If this story is accurate, then this implies that Selena's life with her paternal family and the church was pretty miserable, but in her condition, I don't think she would have been capable of running away from them and staying off the radar. One possibility I've seen pushed forward in online discussions about this case is that Selena could have chosen to go somewhere to end her own life, and that her "thanks for everything" comment was a potential foreshadowing to suicide. I mean, it's apparent that Selena was pretty unhappy, and may not have wanted to go through the ordeal of having a baby, but if this was suicide, she would have had to do something like jump off a bridge somewhere and ensure that her body was never found. So I think the suicide possibility is pretty remote. The fact of the matter is that there were no less than 15 people living inside Sarita's residence at the time Selena went missing. Under normal circumstances, I would have a hard time imagining that many people would be capable of keeping a secret if something happened, but it sounds like Sarita did a pretty effective job at instilling a culture of fear and keeping everyone under control, so others may have been afraid of speaking out. But the big question is, if Selena's paternal family was responsible for her disappearance, then why did it take place at this particular time? Like I mentioned earlier, if they wanted to keep Selena's pregnancy a secret, they never would have taken her to an outside obstetrician, so what could have caused her to go missing just 2 weeks before she was scheduled to give birth? Well, there are a number of possibilities. One of them is that Selena could have suffered some sort of miscarriage and died because she did not receive the proper medical attention. Another is that she went into labor a few weeks early, but instead of taking her to a hospital, they attempted to deliver the baby right there at the residence, but due to complications, both Selena and her child did not survive. Afterward, they went to the trouble of disposing of her body and all the evidence. Remember, even after the family reported Selena missing, they refused to let the police perform a search of the residence. If something did occur there, you have to wonder if they were worried about the authorities finding something, though given that they waited a day or two before filing a missing persons report, they would have had ample time to get rid of any incriminating evidence. If the family did not commit any crime, and Selena's death was the result of a medical complication, you might be wondering why they would go to the trouble of orchestrating a cover-up. Well, that could have had something to do with protecting the child's father. All things considered, the family was probably lucky that Dr. Williams elected not to inform Child Protective Services about Selena's pregnancy, but if they had taken her to a hospital, they might have received a lot more questions about why a 12-year-old girl was giving birth. CJ expressed his belief that Selena ran away because he was planning to perform paternity testing to determine who the child's father was, but without having Selena or her unborn child around to provide DNA, this could not be done. And let's just say that it would be a pretty big shocker if DNA testing revealed that the father was a blood relative. Now, obviously, CJ was well aware that people were suspecting him, since he addressed the situation publicly and told the media that he had gotten a vasectomy years earlier, a fact which was apparently backed up by medical records and a physician. However, there were other older males living inside the same residence, and I think it's safe to say that the most promising candidate to be the father was Selena's cousin, Sean Smith. As you recall, Sean was Sarita's oldest son and would have been in his early 20s during the time period Selena became pregnant. And just over 1 year later, he was charged with sexually assaulting two other underage girls who were members of his mother's church. Like I mentioned earlier, I was unable to find out how this case ultimately turned out, but Sean could have potentially faced up to 20 years in prison if he was convicted of these charges. I mean, for all we know, maybe the charges were eventually thrown out, but there's definitely something very unsettling about this guy. And there were apparently a few former members of the church who alleged that Selena had told them Sean was the father of her baby. Okay, so the lone source for the next piece of information I'm about to share with you is a tabloid, so take this with a huge grain of salt. But I still think it's worth mentioning. I read an excerpt of a book titled Tabloid from Hell, The Rise and Fall of a Beloved Newspaper, which told the story of a notorious tabloid based in Trenton, New Jersey, called the Trentonian. According to the book, the Trentonian covered Selena Mays' disappearance, and here's an exact quote from one of their articles. Quote, "A lawyer fighting the church Selena Mays called home is alleging that the so-called cult had become a virtual baby factory, with the group leader's son serving as clan stud to boost flagging membership. It's an effort that has made at least four church members new moms at the hands of 23-year-old Sean, the married son of clan guru, Reverend Sarita Smith. End quote. And being the classy tabloid that the Trentonian is, the front page headline for this story was Cult Baby Factory, with the inside headline being Sex Education. That's S-E-C-T-S Education. Well, obviously, this whole story sounds heavily sensationalized, but it is true that Sean fathered multiple children with at least four different women, and all of these kids and women were living in Sarita's residence at the time Selena went missing. I have no idea if he was doing this at the behest of his mother in an attempt to increase membership in Gospel of Christ Ministries Incorporated, but I would be curious to know more details about these other females Sean impregnated, and if any of them were underage. As twisted as this whole scenario sounds, committing an act of incest and getting your 11-year-old cousin pregnant is a whole other level of sick. However, this would provide a lot of context for the repulsive victim blaming in Sarita's church sermon, where she lambasted Selena for lying and deceiving everyone by becoming pregnant. If it was Sarita's own son who was responsible for this, then she was projecting in a huge way. The whole situation is extra disturbing when you consider that Selena's own father, CJ, was a member of this church. Given his past behavior, CJ was obviously no angel, but I would be curious to know how much knowledge and complicity he had with what took place. 1 year before Sean's arrest, CJ actually gave an interview to the Philadelphia Daily News in which he acknowledged that his nephew had gotten a number of women from the church pregnant, but he said he did not believe Sean was the father of Selena's child, stating, quote, "People who were against the church used every means at their disposal to set their opinions, their beliefs as to what happened," end quote. Well, since CJ passed away a few years ago, he may have taken what he knew about his daughter's disappearance to the grave. Look, this whole theory about Sean being the father of Selena's unborn child has never been conclusively proven, but if there is truth to that scenario outlined in the Trentonian, then a lot of the pieces of the puzzle would fall into place. But once again, this still doesn't completely explain why Selena went missing. If her family was behind this, why have her go through a nearly full-term pregnancy and then make her disappear only weeks before she was scheduled to give birth? That's the one big piece of the puzzle that I feel is still missing here. While her paternal relatives constantly push forward the idea that Selena ran away voluntarily, perhaps an alternate theory is that she threatened to run away and reveal some dark secrets about the church and that household, but something happened before she made it that far. I really have no idea how these events could have played out, but I have a hard time believing that Selena simply went to bed one night and her family woke up to discover pillows under the covers the following morning. I think solving this case might depend on how many people affiliated with Gospel of Christ Ministries Incorporated actually know the truth. Well, it's possible that most of the family members and followers were brainwashed enough to remain silent. Enough time has passed that we can always hope that someone might finally decide to talk someday. So if you happen to have any information about the unsolved disappearance of Selena Mays, please contact the Willingboro Police Department at 609-877-2253. That's 609-877-2253. But if you just have your own thoughts about what happened, feel free to leave me a comment or send me an email to robin.warder@icloud.com. That's robin.warder@icloud.com. Now, the reminder that The Trail Went Cold is on Patreon, so please visit patreon.com/thetrailwentcold to learn how you can support our podcast and become eligible for some pretty neat rewards. We've produced a bunch of exclusive bonus episodes for our patrons in tiers 2 and 3, and this past month, I released an episode about the controversial 1992 death of Michelle Witherall, who supposedly fell from the third-story balcony of her apartment until her husband was accused of murdering her. And for our patrons in Tier 3, I've also recorded another new audio commentary track which can be played over a classic episode of Unsolved Mysteries. I'd also like to give a shout out to our most recent listeners who have signed up with us on Patreon this week, and they are MJH, Colleen HM, Gain, Billy H, Joe S, Ashley K, and Amanda W. Thank you all so much for your support. And before I bring this episode to a close, I'd like to play a promo for a new true crime podcast called Behaving Badly.
We all love a good true crime tale, whether it's yet another retelling of the Ted Bundy murders or the super convincing con artist. We can't help but be fascinated. Hi, my name is Joe Schwartz, and in my podcast Behaving Badly, Tales of True Crimes and Other Misdeeds, I will be telling stories ranging from infamous killers like Ted Bundy to cybercriminals such as serial hacker Kevin Paulson, as well as legendary outlaws like Billy the Kid and legendary lawmen such as the untouchable Elliot Ness, and even stories of public events gone horribly wrong, such as the time the Cleveland Indians held their 10-cent beer night promotion in 1974. Because how can making it easy for 20,000 angry sports fans to get more drunk possibly go bad? Well, listen to Behaving Badly, Tales of True Crimes and Other Misdeeds to find out, coming soon on your favorite podcatcher.
I'd also like to announce that later this year, provided that it becomes safe to travel again, The Trail Went Cold is going to be appearing on Podcast Row at two separate CrimeCon events. The regular CrimeCon, which takes place at the Fairmont Hotel in Austin, Texas, from June 4th until the 6th, and the very first CrimeCon UK, which is being held at the Leonardo Royal Hotel and Spa in London the following weekend on June 12th and the 13th. If you would like to purchase tickets to either event, we have a special promo code you can use to get a 10% discount, and it applies to both the Austin and London events. So to receive 10% off, either visit crimecon.com or crimecon.co.uk and enter the promo code COLE21. That's COLE21. In addition, I also wanted to provide another reminder that I hold live streaming sessions on a platform called Get Vocal. Every Thursday night from 7 until 8 p.m. Eastern Time, I host what is essentially an after-show for each week's podcast episode, where I have an interactive discussion about the featured case from said episode, and answer questions and address comments from listeners. I always include a link to these sessions in our show notes of every episode, so be sure to check there for more information, or visit getvocal.com. That's getvocal.com. I just wanted to give another shout-out to my supporters at the Unsolved Mysteries message board at the Sitcoms Online forum and the Unresolved Mysteries subreddit. I need to provide a big thanks to McGill Foote, who edits and assembles this podcast together for me, and Vince Nitro, who composes the eerie music you hear on every episode. If you haven't already, you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or Spotify. So have yourself a good week and join us next Wednesday for another brand new episode of The Trail Went Cold.